I hear that song, I immediately think of comedy. I know it was used for Benny Hill, but doggone it, it's just a funny tune. It makes you laugh and gets you going. And that's what we're going to bring Jan McInnes in with. She's been in the Washington Post because she has clean comedy. And she just stays away from the suggestive or inappropriate stuff. She's written an article called Comedy Comes Clean that was featured in the Wall Street Journal. She spent the last 18 years as a professional speaker, comedian, and comedy writer. She shared her humor keynotes with thousands of organizations, including the Federal Reserve Bank and the Mayo Clinic. Now, if you can make people at the Federal Reserve Bank laugh and get called back, you know, you're really probably pretty good. She's also sold her comedy material to everything from the Tonight Show monologue to hundreds of radio stations, greeting cards, syndication, cartoon strips, websites, CEOs, and she's even been a guest on the Jerry Springer Show. It says here her parents are very proud of that one. And as I mentioned, she's the author of Finding Funny Fast and Convention Comedian, and we want to welcome to our show Jan McInnes. Good morning, Jan.
Hey, good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me on. And to clarify, I was never a guest on Jerry Springer.
Oh, I thought you...
I sold material.
Okay.
I'm not that bad of a human being.
So you didn't throw any chairs or have any thrown at you?
Yeah, I sold material to somebody who was appearing there.
Okay, well, thank you for the clarification. We have you know, more respect for you than we had 10 seconds ago.
Thank you.
You know, but then again, when you're working your way up in the comedy field or any field, you kind of take what you get, right? But
yeah,
in this case,
you do. Yeah, trust me, there were times when I would have been a guest if they had made me a buck.
That's right. Well, we appreciate you being on. I know you're out in Los Angeles, so it's about 8:25 out there.
Yeah,
so appreciate
yeah.
you getting up. And so how's life in L.A. these days?
Things are good out here. Things are good. With your soap opportunities, I was laughing because I'm thinking, of course, a comedian might know those because we have the days of free.
That's right.
But I don't. I didn't know. I didn't know most of those. So that was good. General Hospital was my college days soap. That was it.
Well, you know, some of those soap operas have had two or three theme songs over the years. They've changed them for whatever reason. And I don't think that's the original General Hospital theme by any stretch. But
no.
It's the one they used in the 80s and 90s, as I recall.
Yeah.
But it, you know, good. Keeps us loose, keeps us lively. So I met Janet a few weeks ago, and she told me she was a professional comedian. And I told her on the phone, after I listened to some clips, I said, you sounded pretty funny. And she said, what do you mean, pretty funny? So she's actually very funny. And we're going to play some of her clips in a minute. So, now
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go right ahead, Jen.
I was going to say, what's interesting to be on this show, we had the guy before me talking about music and different careers and how you can make a career out of music. And people always think, oh, you're going to be, you know, playing in a band or whatever, teaching high school band. And the same with comedians. They think, oh, you're a comedian, you're just going to work in comedy clubs or bars or something like that. And I found a different niche for my career, too. So it's a nice mix today.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about. I mean, obviously, you weren't born a professional comedian. You weren't a professional comedian at age 5, but you certainly are now. So just to kind of take us from the beginning up to this point in time, how you got to where you are.
Yeah, well, you know, I always wanted to be a comedian. I was not the class clown or anything in the school, but I just kind of wanted to. But I remember graduating from college and looking around at my parents at that dinner that night and thinking, now is not the time to tell them I want to be a comedian. They just spent a lot of money.
Right.
So I went into marketing for about 15 years in D.C. I lived right outside D.C.
Okay.
And did marketing until I finally one day just thought, I've got the bug. I really wanted to get up on stage at an open mic. So I did. I got up and I got hired. I started working. I have to backtrack. I got up during the 80s. The boom was crazy. I did really well. But I freaked out so much at the lights, I didn't go back on for 7 more years. So I missed the whole comedy boom, okay. But I still wanted to do it. So I got back on 7 years later, and I got hired from that and ended up working. I started getting work, and I had my day job for about 2.5 years while I did the stand-up at night in clubs and bars and such around the East Coast mostly. But since I had a marketing job, I saw the corporate market. And I knew, you know, we had hired groups like the Capitol Steps and people like that at conventions to entertain. And I thought, well, that's really sounds like a little more lucrative and kind of more my style because by then I was in my 30s. And so I kind of geared towards that and went for the convention and corporate and association market. And so I left my day job after about 2.5 years, went on the road in comedy clubs, still with an eye towards the corporate, and then by lots of luck and just sort of like that musician you quoted saying, you know, he took just everything he could take and found his spot. I did. I just called and called and called and kind of fell into corporate through a series of things and started doing conventions and association conventions and corporate and that sort of thing. And here I am.
All right, now the big question is
22 years later.
Yeah. Now the big question is, you had this day job, which I'm guessing was reasonably lucrative, at least good enough to pay the bills.
And yeah, yeah.
So at some point you decided to leave that position. That's the tough decision most people have. Like, when do you leave? Do you leave?
You
can
know,
you ever leave? So how did you make that decision?
People ask me that. That surprisingly wasn't as hard. I had a good marketing career. I mean, I'd been doing this in various companies for almost 15 years, and I had a big blowout with my boss, and I didn't get along with her.
Okay.
And I thought. I went home that day and I thought, I can't do this. I can't do this. I've been working in these clubs for 2 years. I really, really want to try this. This is now or never. And so I wrote my 6 month game plan, and I took the day off, called in sick the next day. So I decided in 6 months, I pulled all my finances together. I'm going to do this. And I then booked work on the road for 2 or 3 weeks, knowing I was not going to get those weeks off. I was either going to have to cancel the work, and which I would not work in those clubs again, or I would have to quit my job. And so it kind of committed myself. And it wasn't that hard. It was made going to the job easier. And I did like my job, but I just liked the comedy more. And I think when you're so excited about going towards something,
mm-hmm.
you don't pay attention to what you're leaving. And that was the key for me. And I did get myself together. I did get it at a tipping point where I needed, you know, you don't want to jump in too early,
right.
but you don't want to wait and wait and wait and prepare and prepare and prepare and 10 years later,
right.
you're too scared to do it. So you have to find that right tipping point, and I did. And I was just so excited to go forward that I didn't think about leaving my pension and 401k. And
right,
all that.
That's right. If you would have, you would have been probably curled up in a corner somewhere.
If I'd been smart about it, I was so naive. And I remember the first Friday standing in a comedy club that night thinking, this is the first Friday in probably 15 years or so that I have not had automatic pay put in into my account. And
yeah.
It was a weird feeling, but I remember thinking that.
Yeah, so now you're actually, depending on how well you do, that's how much you're going to get paid. It's no longer an automatic check every 2 weeks.
Right,
yeah.
Right. It's but 22 years later, I've bought houses with this career
yeah.
and done very well, so.
All right, before we delve a little more into your career, let's listen to some of your comedy work. This is off of a video we found, and it has to do with the workplace, which I thought was just drop-dead hilarious. So here we go.
It's good. It's not just pretty funny.
It's
good.
Not pretty funny. It's extremely funny. This is comedian Jan McInnes, and here's a clip from Jan.
Team building. You doing this out here, huh? If you don't know what it is, I'm good at it. I've done it. Team building means employee empowerment and ownership. Yeah, so I took the copier. I never owned one of these. I was a manager there, man. I hated being in charge of people, you know, because they're all calling in with excuses you want to use, right? True story, I'm not making this up. I had an assistant call in once. She said she couldn't come in because she put her clothes on and they burst. That's right, she called in fat.
That's a new one.
When you're managing people, too, you learn a lot of stuff, don't you? Like most relatives die on a Friday. I finally got rid of her. She actually called in. She quit on voicemail. Yeah, so I faxed her severance check. I was going to mail her a copy. We didn't have a copier.
That's because Jan stole it, right?
Yeah. Oh, a lot of copiers there.
That's funny. So, you know, being in management, of course, you know, you've seen some things that you could probably put together in tighter shows just on what you saw as the manager, but...
You know, and I couldn't do any. I couldn't write any work jokes until after the work was. I left the job because it was just too raw.
Oh, sure.
But I have had companies say. I have had one company say, "You can't make that, do that copy a joke." And I said, "Why? It's funny. You can't." And finally, it comes out that they had just laid off a bunch of people and everybody took stuff.
Oh no!
I said, "Yeah, but it's funny. The people remaining will love it."
Yeah, wasn't that funny? You can tell a joke like the copier joke in one setting, and people are rolling in the floor. It's so funny. In another setting, it's, not funny at all because everybody
yeah,
just stole
yeah.
something.
Well, I think it would have been funny. The boss didn't want me to do it.
That's right.
The people that stayed would have been like, yeah, that's hilarious. They all took his stuff.
All right, tell me what you think of this now. I used to have my own band in town here. We played a lot of functions, pretty much kind of anybody who called, we went as long as they paid. And
mm-hmm.
It was New Year's Eve of 87. Now, Elvis Presley died in 77, so he had been gone 10 years. And
mm-hmm.
I was getting ready to sing a song by Elvis, and people on the dance floor, they're having a good time. It's New Year's Eve, and I said, here's a song by the late Elvis Presley. And I said, actually, he's not late. He's not coming at all because he's dead. I thought it was funny. They did not.
Ooh, a little too raw 10 years later even.
10 years, I thought, come on, folks, get over it. It's been 10 years.
I know. So, you know, there's some subjects you just, even 20 years, you know, later, 30 years. I tour with theaters with another comedian in the Baby Boomer comedy show, Kent Rader, and he has a joke about John Kennedy.
Yeah.
And people still, ooh, it's like, come on, man. Or he's a NASCAR joke, I think Dale Earnhardt, ooh,
yeah.
Well, he's in the South.
That's right. So I guess you got to pick and choose your audiences, and apparently that was an Elvis town. It was somewhere in Indiana we were playing. I can't even think of the town. But
I was going to say, it wasn't Tennessee, was it?
No.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, I looked to my bandmates who always laughed at my jokes. That was part of their deal. They had to laugh, even though they'd heard every joke a thousand times. And I looked at them, and they weren't laughing either. I thought, guys,
Ooh,
I'm really up here all alone. So you're doing mostly convention and conference work, which has got to be a lot better for you instead of the nightclubs.
I love the comedy clubs. I really did. They were a lot of fun because it was a different than sitting at a desk. But they're also they're a lot more travel heavy, weary on you, I guess, wearing on you.
Okay.
Because you're out for Tuesday through Sunday for a club, as opposed to this corporate stuff where you just fly out for a day or two and come back, and the theater stuff where you just fly out for a couple of days and come back. So and it's some of my crowds, and I'm doing things at breakfast and lunch, and I'm headed home by noon. Which is nice, and I'm not getting up at on stage at 11 o'clock at night on a Friday second show with 50 drunk college students in the crowd. And so it's more my stock, more my group. As I get older, they appreciate my humor.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's just a different environment, and basically people who go to conferences and presentations like that are the professional crowd. They're well dressed. They're expecting something of class, and they're not throwing stuff, no tomatoes, and all that good stuff. So.
And you know what? You don't get. I never got a lot of hecklers because I don't have an act that kind of makes people want to yell at you.
Right.
But you got to remember, there are a few different rules. Like for instance, the heckler might be the boss in the crowd if someone's yelling, so you can't really go slam them. A lot of times, sometimes they don't understand exactly how to set up comedy, or like I do humor keynotes as well. They don't understand how to do that because they don't run nightclubs. So you have to give a little more instruction that way. But overall, it's, in fact, that my book, Convention Comedian, the tagline is on that is Stories and Wisdom from Two Decades of Chicken Dinners and Comedy Clubs.
Oh, very good.
And it's what I've learned. Yeah, it's the fun stuff that's happened to me and what I've learned from it.
All right, I'm looking forward to reading both of them. Let's listen to another one of your clips, and I want to hear more about the books. This has to do with kids.
I got a cat now. I've had my cat for 17 years. Yeah, thank you. I love my cat, but that's a long time, man. How long do they live? The other day I caught her staring at me, thinking the same thing. People treat their pets like people, don't they, huh? I saw this TV show. A woman had a dog with obsessive compulsive disorder. Yeah, I'm not making this up. Like, the dog had a stick and he'd run around the backyard. He'd bury, unbury, all day long with a stick. Yeah, she finally put the dog on Prozac. $75 a month. I'd throw away the stick.
We have just a little bit more here, Jen. Don't go away.
Okay.
Play a little more of your clip.
Oh, I'm a baby boomer, man. Things are different now with the kids today, aren't they? Huh? Yeah, they got the no child left behind rule. No child left behind. I went to school, that was a motto for the school bus driver. We got baby boomers out there, huh? This is different now. They got the internet now, right? What do we have, right? Encyclopedia Britannica. Your parents bought once. You could only be as smart as your oldest sibling.
I bet my mom still has that up in her closet, too. But that's how we learned back then.
You don't want to pass that one down, do you?
Yeah, that's exactly how we learned. So how'd you get into the author business now? You kind of done everything in comedy except writing books, and then you wrote books, so how'd you get into that?
Well, my first book is called Finding the Funny Fast, How to Create Quick Humor to Connect with Clients, Coworkers, and Crowds. I get asked a lot. I do a lot of quick jokes, 3 to 4 jokes a minute, like kind of Rodney Dangerfield style. I really like that.
Uh-huh.
And people would ask, how do you do that? I want to add jokes. I want to do this or that, and so I got tired of telling them, so I put it in an easy short book.
Okay, very good.
And so that's the first book, and then the second book, I wanted to just kind of, a lot of entertainers will write a book about road stories and all the crazy drugs and all that. I don't have those crazy road stories, but I've learned a lot of things from the different venues and situations I've been in in 20 years. So I thought, I had somebody ask me maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, you know, do you have a different book? We want to give one out to all of our attendees, but we don't, the Finding the Funny Fast book really isn't appropriate. They don't want it. It's not about humor. And so I said, well, yeah, I do have this book.
Yeah, very good.
And I put together my stories and put it into another book. So
well, I think it's great. So you're pretty much, I mean, you write jokes, you sell jokes, you do your own comedy act, you have you write books now, and you're doing the conference convention circuit. How can people get a hold of you or find out more information? Do you have a website?
Oh, yeah, I do. Www, of course, that goes without saying, theworklady.com.
Theworklady.com.
Yeah, people can't spell my last name, McInnes, so I just figured worklady, theworklady.com.
Yeah,
you can remember that because I do work humor.
The simpler the better, so theworklady.com. All right, well, thank you very much, Jan. It's been a pleasure having you on. We got to have you on again.
You
got so much to tell us about comedy. And
thanks for having me.
All right, so Jan McInnes, and give us your website once more.
Theworklady.com.
Theworklady.com. And you have some clips on there, too, of yourself, right?
I do. I have clips. I have. You can email me there, and all sorts of good stuff. You can buy my books. There you go.
All right, so get in touch. Thank you, Jan, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good.
Take care. Thank you. You bet. And that was Jan McInnes, professional comedian, author, works at a lot of conventions doing comedy. You can get a hold of her at theworklady.com.